Mr. Perez Hernandez, Mr. Salarich, and Mr. Herrera. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very much honored to be invited by Casa Asia to Madrid to give this talk. The occasion is not that happy, but I will try to give my best to be as an economist to give the economic situations in Japan and try to give you where Japan is heading from here. Just to remind you of what happened on March 11th, that the country was struck by the biggest earthquake on record in world history, the magnitude 9.0, and the unprecedented severity of the tsunami caused by the earthquake hit the coast of northeast Japan. And now scientists are measuring what really happened at the tsunami, and the highest wave was about 40 meters high. So it was really unprecedented tsunami devastation. Also, it was a very wide area in the northeast area. It was actually the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plants, which was also hit by tsunami, which was one of the causes of the big problems. The plant was not expecting that high tsunami. Northern part was expecting something like that, lesser magnitude, but more tsunami-prone area. But the Fukushima Daiichi was not really tsunami-prone area. So it was sort of beyond any expectation of the earthquake and tsunami. And as a result, we have now confirmed death of 15,000 people, 15,000 plus, and still missing are 4,000 plus. So in total, about 20,000 people are dead and missing. So it is great human tragedy. And the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant lost emergency power and oil for the emergency generator, and the cooling stopped. They shut down the nuclear reactor. That was okay, but then they couldn't keep pumping in the cooling water. That's why they started to boil and had oxygen to be generated, and the reactor pressure was built up. And as a consequence, there were explosion of by the oxygen explosion, which is not reactor explosion, but the explosion of around the buildings of the reactor. However, that because of the probably a release the leaking of the radioactive materials through the pipes and so on, that a large amount of nuclear substances were released to the environment. And it is kind of a different nature from Chernobyl accident. Chernobyl was an explosion of a reactor. Fukushima was explosion, which damaged the piping and some containment area. But as a result, it's the same that radioactive materials were released to the environment, and the estimate of the total amount of release were from Fukushima Daiichi is comparable to Chernobyl, but the lot of it went to the ocean instead of the inland. But now we are seeing sort of estimates of how those radioactive substances, cesium mostly, were spreading with the wind and the coming down on the ground with rain. So now we are finding out the first 10 days were very critical, and because of the wind and rain that we have the spots well beyond the 20 kilometer radius, which was evacuated by order of the government. So we are still struggling with the radioactive substances. In addition to the immediate area, which you know where the people were evacuated, and those evacuees were still living in temporary housing and so on. Okay, so from here, I would like to separate two different problems. One is the earthquake and tsunami devastation, which is relatively straightforward how to reconstruct and how much it would cost. And the second problem, the nuclear contamination issues, which is still happening, and very uncertain what to do and what is the final solution, like whether people can return to their homes or they have to stay outside for many, many decades. So we don't know the solution. We don't know the final outcome. And it's very difficult to talk, of course, about that. So two different problems. One is earthquake and tsunami. The other is nuclear accident. So I'll give you the first. First of all, how much damage we think that was caused by these two problems, the earthquake and tsunami, which devastated almost all infrastructures, and also private homes and factories and roads and train lines. We have rough estimates of about 16 trillion yen of the damages, which is about 3% of Japanese GDP. So 3%, it's not that devastating as a national economy. The rest of Japan can share the burden and pay for it. So 16 trillion yen is like 150 euro is dropping every day, so it's very difficult to difficult to estimate, but it's like 150 to 160 billion euro, so that's the tsunami, the earthquake and tsunami. Okay, the nuclear again. It's we don't have the final picture, but so far the damage to the environment and evacuation, and compensation to the evacuees, and compensation to agricultural products, fishery, and so on, The experts sort of estimate about 20 trillion yen damage, and that is about 4% of GDP. So in total, 7-8% of GDP is lost. And for earthquake and tsunami, we have to rebuild and reconstruct the area, probably for better than before. But for the nuclear power plant area, we don't know what to do yet. And it depends on how quickly we can contain permanently the damaged power plant, and whether it's possible to decontaminate the area or not. But the immediate surrounding area, I think that they have to close it for a long time. So policy response was very quick in the earthquake and tsunami hit area, and temporary evacuation center was set up, and temporary housing was built, and the damaged areas are cleaned, those damaged structures are removed, and so on. Probably took more time than, of course, the victims of the disaster hoped for. But by now, 6 months after the earthquake, I think it's, people are now living in a temporary housing basic needs of life. However, the evacuees from the Fukushima nuclear power plant surrounding area are still living in evacuation center and also temporary housing, but far away from the power plant. And some towns immediately neighboring the Fukushima area, of course, they cannot even go back to collect their personal belongings. And the town itself has moved to a different prefecture, and they don't know what to do. And the government is not telling them what to do. So they are in a very, very difficult situations. And many families, especially with small children, and families, especially families with who have relatives in distant areas like Osaka and Kyoto, they moved to different areas, so they are losing population very quickly, and for good reasons. Economists like us are sort of advocating for the earthquake and tsunami area to build a new kind of cities away from the coastal area. This, as I mentioned in the beginning, the hardest hit tsunami area, they have had several tsunami experiences even within the last 50 years. And some of the tsunami came from earthquake in Chile and traveled across the Pacific Ocean to hit this particular area. And if you go back to history of 800 years, or they have the archaeologists are finding the proof for the big tsunami from many centuries ago. So we know that this area is a tsunami prone area, and it's not wise to rebuild housing structures near the coastline, because we know that it'll happen again in maybe 30 years, maybe 50 years, maybe 100 years, but you know, surely it will repeat again. So we are proposing that, many people are proposing that the cities should be relocated to higher ground or more inland. Government had built the seawall to prevent the tsunami, but it was just flattened in this tsunami. So we do need to relocate the towns around the coastal area. But it's very difficult to plan on that, because you have to find alternative land to relocate, and securing land is very difficult because of land ownership is very, very much important for the Japanese people. So the government has to be very, very creative in securing land, and also compensate for their old homes, and design the new city, which will be better for the friendly to the older people, because actually this area is losing younger population even before the tsunami, and it's you know, the towns and cities cannot maintain the basic service to the older people who need the easy transportation and medical attention and so on. So we need to have a very new kind of city, which is compactly located around the hospitals and basic administrative offices, and maybe some cultural centers, instead of the pre-tsunami situation that, you know, houses are sparsely located in wide area, and cities and towns have to provide the rise and bus routes, and they have to shovel the snow to clear the roads. So we have proposed those new kinds of cities should be built, but and also it was included in the basic plan for reconstruction. But there's no concrete planning for this relocation, and prefectures are waiting for the central government's instruction and basic grand design of how to carry out this land exchange. Towns and cities are waiting for the prefectural coordination and money from either prefecture or central government. But this is not happening. So reconstruction, but the cities and towns banned the rebuilding the houses in these tsunami-prone coastal lines, anticipating this relocation will happen. But grand design is not done, money is not coming, so that people are still living in the temporary housing waiting for relocation or not. And this is very difficult for them to wait. And some people are getting impatient and start repairing the old houses, which is in violation of the evacuation and banning the rebuilding in the old places. But, you know, people are getting impatient, and this is a very not good situation. Similarly, in the surrounding area of the nuclear power plants, that, as I mentioned, the immediate neighboring towns are completely relocated, and they are not given chance to go back home at all. That's 3 kilometers radius. 10 kilometers to 20 kilometers, they were given a chance to go back to home once or twice to collect personal belongings, but they have no hope to go back in the short run. So they are still living in temporary housing, or some people just left completely new area. Again, you need to compensate for relocation, but there is no standard shown by the government or the power company, which are responsible. So again, life is very difficult with uncertainty and the financial difficulty, and they are still waiting for the grand design of the how the relocation may happen for the people surrounding the nuclear power plant surrounding area. Let me shift to more macro picture that how the Japanese economy could pay for the damaged reconstruction of the damaged area, and how the power shortage could be handled because of this shutdown of the nuclear power plants. So, as I mentioned, the damage to the economy is like 7% of GDP. It's like you lost assets to the order of 7% of GDP, which you want to reconstruct, or you want to compensate for the people who will spend those money. So we actually you lost the assets, but for the flow of investment and consumption, we expect the rebound of the economy later this year and also next year. So reconstruction boom, in a sense, will happen next year. We need a lot of materials. We import from some of them. We import from abroad, and so growth rate actually will go up next year. But for the government, they have to find money to finance those public infrastructure construction. So biggest question the government is now tackling is how to fund this reconstruction money. And you can do it in several ways, that you could issue bonds and you know, spread out to 10 years to pay for it. You could increase taxes immediately to fund those money. Or you could spend less on some other things and shift those expenditure from non-essential things to the earthquake, tsunami reconstruction. So there are three ways: bond issues, tax increase, and expenditure shifting. So they have been debating in the last 6 months what to do. And as an economist, the first instinct would be to say, let's issue government bonds and spread out to the future those costs of reconstruction to, you know, minimize the sudden damage, downward pressure on expenditures, which will accompany the tax increases. But many economists, including myself, is saying that this first instinct, which would be textbook answer, does not apply to current Japan. Okay, bond issues would be good to spread out to future generations if the population is increasing, so the burden would be shared by larger population than current, and per capita productivity growth is high, so that the later generation would be, you know, would be earning higher wages to pay for it. And debt to GDP ratio is relatively low, so issuing more bonds now would not affect the bond market. Japan has none of it. Japanese population has been decreasing starting about 5 years ago. Japanese working age population, say 20 years old to 65 years old, have been decreasing for 10 years, and it's getting accelerating. Decline speed is accelerating, mainly because, well, the big reason is that the baby boomer generation, which was, you know, born after the Second World War, let's say 1947 to 1952, those are the age group, which is, you know, 60 years old plus minus two. I do not reveal my age, but I'm in that group, okay? So so we retire, big chunk of population will retire in 5 years. And we will not be paying taxes in 10 years at all, okay? We will be receiving the pensions. We will not pay any income tax. Maybe consumption tax, that may be VAT we may pay, but not income tax at all. Current government plan, which has not passed the Diet yet, is to issue bonds and spread out the burdens for 10 years and tax increase in income tax to pay for it. I think it's wrong. This big chunk of baby boomers who are about to retire, and about to retire means you're at the top of the earning profile in your life. We are much richer than the 20-year-old, 30-year-old, except for those Goldman Sachs young kids, that we should be paying taxes to help the tsunami region. We should be the ones who should be shouldering burdens for the people who have lost homes and infrastructure. Government just don't get it, and they still think that it's better to spread the burden to the future. But future, you don't have, you have smaller population, and they will not be high wage earners. Plus, the debt to GDP ratio, the government debt in Japan is about 200%, which is much higher than Greece. And you know what's happening to Greece. So since Japanese people save more than Greece that the Japanese people are supporting this government, huge government bonds out of Japanese savings. 95% of the Japanese bonds are held by Japanese citizens and financial institutions. That's the difference between Greece and Japan. But, you know, again, the big chunk of population is retiring soon, and we will be spending down our life's saving, which means that our deposit to the banks will start to decline, and banks are the ones who hold Japanese government bonds. So looking forward, the government should do extra efforts to reduce government fiscal deficits and start, you know, reducing debt to GDP ratio. Sounds familiar, right? And so we cannot afford the more government bonds and say, let's spread out to the future generations. That's wrong. We should be paying taxes now to pay for the reconstruction and continue paying taxes to reduce the debt to GDP ratio. So just to give you the illustration, so the working age population, 20 to 60 years old, will decline by 7 million people in next 10 years, which is about 8% of the current age group. So after 10 years, you know, the much less working age population have to pay income taxes to support, and we think it's wrong. So the many economists, including myself, are saying that textbook solution doesn't apply to Japan, and we should have a tax increase quickly, maybe next year, starting next year. Well, next question would be, what kind of taxes should we raise? And the current government is saying that income tax and corporate income tax. But that is bad for the supply side, that many people will lose incentive to work, and many corporations will relocate outside Japan instead of inside Japan because of the high income tax, corporate income tax. So I think the VAT should be raised to pay for it. By raising VAT, again, the retirees will be paying for the burden, and I think that's good because we designed the pension system so that current retired and soon to retire get much better benefits as a generation than the younger generation. The current VAT in Japan is 5%. So European average is like 16%, and Greece is 21%, going up to 23%. Sweden has a 25% of VAT. So we need to raise VAT to European standard, and because our pension system and welfare system is as good as European average, and we need to pay for it. So that's another difference between Japan and Greece, that we have the room to raise taxes. So we still have chance to balance budget if the politicians have a courage to persuade people for the need of raising consumption taxes. Let me shift to the next topic of electricity shortage. So because we lost Fukushima Daiichi, but also we are losing other nuclear power because the reactors go to the regular maintenance every year. So it's like 13-month, year and 1 month operation, and 2 to 3 month maintenance. 13-month operation and 2 months maintenance. So it's a regular cycle of maintenance to check up and replace parts. After Fukushima, those reactors which went into the regular checkup could not restart after regular checkup because the towns and cities surrounding the nuclear power plant and prefectures which has those reactors are not giving okay to restart, and it's a kind of political understanding that you need those go-ahead from the mayors and governors, both mayor and governor of the nuclear power plant. Mayors and governors are not giving okay because they, of course, are worried about the safety of the reactors, and they need assurance from the central government that reactors are safe, you know, given what happened in Fukushima. And if something happens, the central government will pay for the damages rather than the power company. Okay, so government agreed that they will review the safety standard. They have not coming out with the results of the safety re-examination, so-called stress test. So the mayors and governors are not giving okay. So one after another, reactors are shutting down, and now 11 out of 54 reactors are operating, but the rest is not operating. And between now and next April, those 11 will shut down for regular maintenance one by one. So if nothing happens between now and April, all reactors will shut down and they cannot restart. So government has a very tall order that they have to come up with the new safety standards, which will be accepted as a good standard by the scientists and also the communities around the each reactor, and get approval from mayors and governors to restart the each reactor, which is, I think, is politically very difficult, and time is short. Personally, I think the government should apply the very strict standard. Then I think it'll come out with the conclusion some of the reactors should be shut down permanently. Because Fukushima Daiichi power plants were very old. The Fukushima Daiichi had 4 reactors. All of them are damaged. Okay, and 3 were operating. Actually, the one was not operating also had a blow up. Why? Because they had a spent fuel rod pool, which was storing the fuel rods, which was used but not used at the moment for the maintenance, and they were in the pool. They could not cool down the pool, so the pool itself was start boil and giving, you know, generating the oxygen, and they didn't have good system to control the oxygen for the spent fuel pool, because they thought, you know, there was nothing danger for the spent fuel pool, which was, you know, it was not designed to generate any power or the heat. So it was more exposed than the reactors. And some people think this is a design flaw, that those spent fuel is exposed. So that's number four I'm talking about. Number one reactor was 40 years old. And initial design was that it should be shut down after 40 years. But just last year, they said it's okay to extend another 20 years for the operation. So they extended for the operating years from 40 to 60. That was a big mistake, right? So the nuclear power engineering has advanced, of course, everything, you know, technology advanced, in the last 40 years, of course. So the 40-year-old reactor, it's not just old and, you know, some parts may be crumbling down, but design itself is very old. Okay, so I will not go into the details, it is less safe than newer designed reactors, and I think it should have been shut down. So there are several old reactors in other power plants, and with similar designs. And that should be a consideration on restarting the operation or not. So I would prefer the solution that newer reactor with good safety records away from the fault lines of the earthquake and not tsunami prone area should be allowed to operate. But I think that some of the reactors should be shut down. But what I'm afraid of is the government comes out in a month or two that all of the 54 are safe. They, you know, they do some simulations on a stress test on a nuclear. It's on the computer, and say, you know, with some additional safety measures like putting the emergency generators back up that it should be safe to have the should it be safe to have the operation again, all of them. And I'm afraid if the government comes out with that kind of solution, I think that would be would not satisfy the people around the nuclear reactors. Okay, so whether government succeed or not is a lot to do with what's going to happen next summer. Okay, this past summer we just finished. The government order in the Tokyo area that where the Fukushima was supplying electricity, the government ordered a cut in electricity usage by 15%, 15, to large corporations and large users of electricity. And actually, University of Tokyo is one of them. So that is the government order by law, which the law was created way back in 1974 when the first oil crisis came and oil supply was cut off for a few weeks, that there was a sort of a sense of crisis, and they created a law that government can order a cut in the usage of the electricity. This was actually activated for after so many years of dormant period. And households, the consumers, you cannot monitor real time. So we were told, we are encouraged to cut down the consumption by 15%. So, of course, the Japanese companies comply with the law, and households, ordinary people, are also comply with the recommendations that we all cut down the electricity. So the hallways of ministries are dark. that they shut off all the lights in the hallway. They rely on the outside light during the day. And our universities, I think, shut down elevators. One of every other elevators was shut down, and so on. So with great efforts of and also big companies like Toyota, they shut down Thursday, Friday, and open Saturday and Sunday, so that you smooth out the peak hours. And other companies shut down on Tuesday, Wednesday, and open the weekends. So great efforts among the companies and consumers. And actually, our consumption was down more than 15%, maybe 20%. And we had no blackouts this summer. Of course, the mood was very bad. Also, the air conditioning, we were told to set the temperature at 28 degrees. So it was very hot in ministries and even airport buildings. So it was not comfortable summer. Actually, I advocated to have the 1 month vacance instead of just 1 week, traditional Japanese 1 week summer vacation, but my proposal didn't go anywhere. Spanish way. I said learn the Spanish vacance, Spanish or French vacance, but it didn't go well. Okay, so next summer, if this reopening of the reactors didn't happen, this will happen again, that very uncomfortable summer, and companies will shift the production out of Japan to Europe, North America, Asia, and Korea is actually tried to steal some of the factories out of Japan that they are offering the industrial park to build Japanese companies. So whether we can reopen some reactors so that we can plan for the next stage in orderly manner, or we'll shut down completely in a chaotic way and go green unintendedly is a big choice in the next 6 to 7 months. My view is that we need nuclear power at least in the next 20 to 30 years. In during time, maybe we can encourage research and development in the alternative energy, renewable energy, but we cannot do it in 1 year. So my view is that government should do extra cautious safety margin, and maybe that means that shutting down some of the reactors, but to save the critical parts that maybe decommissioning right now is necessary. So we are at the critical juncture to plan for the better future, like relocated cities and a big safety margin for some of the reactors, but shutting down some others. Start reconstruction, spending money, and also paying for it by increasing taxes rather than bonds, or go to a worse solution that none of what I recommend is adopted. So vigorous debate, intellectual debate is going on, and political efforts are going on. And I'm backing academia, so I don't have much political power. But I hope that the government will act properly and we can hope for the better future. Okay, so gracias.